It was a Skype call I anticipated for several days, a chance to be able to look in the eyes of those who are facing great challenges, but to hear their perspective in the midst of their challenges. As the call came through on the other side of that Skype screen were 13 Ukrainian pastors who, by way of responsibility, are connected into impacting lives of those who've been displaced by what is transpiring in the eastern part of the country, to convey hope to those who feel hopeless, and in the midst of all that they're going through, to keep their hearts anchored in the cross. And so as we began our conversation, the gentlemen, the pastors on the other end, began to share their heart. And it's interesting because what they shared every time was the same thing. We step into the water because we know with God there's dry ground. We step into that water. And as they began to share, the first guy began to talk, and his name was Nikolai. And Nikolai began to share that he had had a passion for the children in the area in which he ministered, and so he began to go into the villages and started talking about the 45 children that came from 7 different villages, all looking for the answer that rests in the name of Jesus. Well, then Andre began to talk about his responsibility. It's interesting what Andre shared. Andre shared many of the children that now come to his church are those who have been abandoned or left without parents because of what's transpired in the eastern part of the country. And sometimes I think we rely too much on media to get our reports versus the truth and the reality. And the reality is genocide has happened in the eastern part of Ukraine. Thousands of people have been killed. No one can count the number. But as the children began to come, Andre began to see a phenomenon going on with the children in his own church, because the children began to hear the stories of the little children who had come, and they migrated as far as they could go away from what was transpiring with the conflict. And it's interesting what the children said. Would you help us prepare for when we are abandoned as well? I want you to think about the words of those children. What kind of fear, what kind of anxiety would rest on them as a result of hearing that? Then Sergey got on the screen, and as he began to talk, obviously all these guys through translators, so you get to see the emotion of their face. He began to talk, and he's been very ill for several months. And I asked him, I said, why have you not gone and tried to get help? And he said, I just want to give a little more time so that when God heals me, it'll be only to his glory. Well, as he said that, I thought to myself, what an amazing faith. Because here's what he was saying. I'm stepping into the water. I asked these pastors, I said, tell me this, how difficult is it? And it's interesting what they said. They didn't focus on the difficulty of the hour. They focused on the direction of a lifetime. And that was Christ had become everything to them. And it's interesting what they said to me this past Thursday. They said, we are learning who is who. We're learning, in other words, who steps into the water of faith and who steps into what it is we're trying to do. And it's intriguing because one of the things that Sergey shared was that we have more men involved than ever. And he said, the conflict has created an awareness that the only safety in life rests in God. And as these gentlemen shared, it began to zero in on what we're looking at today. Because I want you to imagine for a second, you are the children of God. You have been given a reprieve from all that you are encountering in an entirely different world. You have been given a reprieve to walk out of Egypt. And the only thing you have to do is be willing to step into the water. And today we look at what it means to step into the water. Because if you'll think about it for a moment, when you step in, something begins to happen. And I want us to turn our attention to 2 verses that we have zeroed in on throughout our entire time of study, but also to come back to the passages in Exodus, because today we'll find ourselves in Exodus 13 and 14. Back to the text that we wrapped up in last Sunday, but today in a full message, seeing what it is that God has for us. And here's what you may discover. God has you on the edge of the water. You can see the water. You know exactly what it looks like. You can even see the color of it. But as you look at that water, you have to be willing to put one foot in. And as you put your foot in, he begins to intervene in your life. Watch what happens. When you read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, you realize this. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I want you to think about this phrase. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And here's what I want you to see. Here's what happened oftentimes in our lives that create for us a dilemma that we have to tackle and get over. When the inconsequential takes the place of the impossible, then our capacity to experience what God intended is diminished down to our own ability. Think about it again. Let me say it again. When the inconsequential takes the place of the impossible, then our ability to be able to encounter what it is that God has for us is diminished greatly. So here's what I want you to think about. How many things do we face in life that are inconsequential? In other words, there's no consequence to that. They may be issues that we encounter, but they don't get us anywhere. They don't take us any place. They are just a part of life. And what I want you to see today is this. With all those parts of life around us, there's one part that is most essential, and that is our faith. What we believe, what we hang on to, what we entrust ourselves to, what we lean on when we're going through difficult times. Now then, if you'll think about it for a moment, if we take what is the consequential and let it become a part of who we are, here's what happens. Then we understand our identity, and we find ourselves in Galatians 2:20, for I'm crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live, I live in the flesh, because God, by faith, because God loves me. Now think about it for a second. I'm crucified. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, which tells you something. Watch this for a second. What becomes consequential is my identity in the impossible, because as I believe him for the impossible, something begins to happen inside of who I am, and my identity is shaped around that. Now, take yourself back thousands of years, and here's what you see. You find a people who have been given inconsequential tasks. They are there because they did not have enough faith to believe that God would carry them forward. So instead, they landed in Egypt. And what I want you to see today is this. If you land in Egypt, it will be because your faith has been centered in something less than God. And as a result, that lack of faith gets in the way of you going where God wants you to go. So in Exodus chapter 14, verse 4, we find this unique verse. It's in this text where the Lord says, I'm going to harden somebody's heart. I'm going to harden, in fact, look how he says it. I'll harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Now, I want you to see this. Watch this. What was he going to do? He was going to harden their heart. In other words, he was going to cause them not to be able to see what they thought they were seeing. He was going to put them in a place. In fact, you'll see before we finish today, he even moved the cloud to make sure they couldn't see anything. And what I want you to see today is this. If you find yourself in a fog of faithlessness, if you find yourself in a fog of disbelief, if you find yourself in a fog of doubt, if you find yourself in a fog of fear, realize something, that what God wants to do inside of you is to shape your direction, shape your destiny, shape your hope, shape your faith, so that when you face the water, you will step in, not just stand there and look at it. And what happens oftentimes is we face big challenges. We look at things and we go, can we do this? And the answer is, we can't, but he can. And through him, I can do all things through Christ. And so what happens is you find yourself and you go, oh, wow. I need to zero in on what it is that God has for me. And it's interesting because what living faith does is living faith looks at the obstacle and sees the opportunity. I mean, living faith looks at that and says, you know what? Yes, I must tackle this. For example, let's say you have somebody who's not in tune with the Lord, a mate, a child, a friend, someone, and you start looking at that obstacle, and the obstacle becomes the definition of who you are instead of the opportunity to watch God work and see him intervene. This week, I got a message from a friend whose wife 25 years ago gave her heart to Christ. And it was in that defining moment of her life that she set out to see her mother and her father come to Christ. 25 years. And amazingly, last week, her father, after 25 years of seeing her live a life of faith, said, that's what I want too. What I want you to see today is this. Your faith cannot be defined by time. Your faith must be defined by truth. Because if you set the parameters of your preferred time instead of his perfect time, then everything in life will be governed around your calendar and your schedule. And what I want you to see today is this. He doesn't operate on our schedule. He operates on his. And what he does is perfect. Ours is subject to a whole lot less than perfection. And what you need to see today is this. When your faith, when your living faith looks at an obstacle and says, okay, this is an opportunity to see God move. This is an opportunity to see God transform someone's heart. Something begins to happen inside of who you are. Now think about it for a moment. Here you are, living faith moves you forward beyond your obstacle. Then all of a sudden, living faith helps you start dealing with fear. In fact, when you think about it, it all of a sudden begins to help you see how you can deal with fear in such a way that you elevate your anticipation of what it is God's going to do, His plan. Imagine for a moment, all of a sudden, you find yourself afraid for a moment, and then you go, wait. I know God's with me. I can anticipate what He is going to do. I'm going to anticipate how He's going to speak, what He's going to say to my heart, what He wants to do inside of my life. You see, the reality is those Ukrainian pastors were not being defined by mortar shells from Russia. They were being defined by the thunder of heaven. And what I want you to see today is this. All over the world, people are encountering all kinds of mortar shells of disbelief and all kinds of things that could cause them to be able to miss the purpose that God has for their life. And then all of a sudden, the thunder of heaven roars down. And a noise that is absolutely as crystal clear as you can imagine says, I am with you. The voice behind you says, this is the way, walk in it. You realize that you can be confident in Him, that He who began His good work in you will complete it. You see, today we find ourselves stepping into the water. And when we step into it, all of a sudden, He starts elevating everything inside of our lives. He begins to work inside of our hearts and direct us in an amazing and powerful way. We find ourselves today in Exodus chapter 13. If you recall, we looked at it for a moment last Sunday. We glanced into it. Today, we look into it with a very thorough focus because you've got to ask yourself this question. How significant is the story of stepping onto dry ground and how does it fit into living faith? Well, for the people of God, it was their story. Because behind them, there was no turning back. And you see, what living faith is like a person who gets in a boat and they allow their faith to take them far enough that they can't see the shore. I want to ask you, have you gone far enough out in the water that you can't see the shore? Because what happens is when you do that, your faith becomes very, very powerful, very, very meaningful. Because all of a sudden, something begins to trigger inside of you. And you start going, I'm not going to live by this faith anymore. I'm going to live anticipating what it is God has. And so for Moses, he realized something. These people, they had already learned a lot of lessons, but they still had to learn the greatest lesson of all, and that was that they could trust the Lord. And what I want you to see today is this. Everything may not add up with your math, but you can trust Him. Because the greatest mathematician is the one who knew you before you ever formed your mother's womb. He knew the days of your life. He knew the thoughts of your mind. He knew the hairs on your head. He knew everything about you. He has known you from the beginning. And that's exactly why in Psalm 139, when it says, search me, O God, and try me. If there's any anxious thoughts in me, show me the everlasting way. You see, today as you think about that, I want you to imagine that you are with that great tribe of people who are moving under God's direction into His plan. And I want you to imagine for a second that you're thinking through the inconsequential things that you have allowed to control you. And all of a sudden you stop and say, you know, wait a minute, you know what? I'm just not going to get caught up with that again. I'm not getting caught up with something that won't get me where God wants me to go. And listen carefully. Anything inconsequential will not take you where God wants you to go. It absolutely demands of us that we have a faith that is centered in the purpose of God for our lives. So imagine for a second, you're with the people and all of a sudden they get introduced. They get introduced to this whole concept of what it means to live by faith. And in chapter 13, we begin in verse 17. I want to show you three distinctive things that lead us to step into the water. The first one is this. There are no shortcuts when it comes to God's plan. There are no shortcuts to living faith. And what happens here is, they are brought to a place where God is in control of the direction of their life. Begin reading, if you would, in chapter 13, verse 17, and follow along as we proceed through this, because I want you to get three thoughts as you sit in church today. The first one being that there are no shortcuts, because what happens is if you get a shortcut, what you're trying to say, I'm going to cut this deal in a different way than God intended. And what God's plan is for us to deal decisively with our lives, not with shortcuts, but in the long run, watch this, in the long run of the love of God. Because when we start running with him and we know he loves us, then all of a sudden something begins to happen inside. We get energized. Something powerful begins to happen inside of our lives. All of a sudden, we become the men and women he wants us to be. We become the students he wants us to be because we're on that long run of knowing he's loving us every step of the way. Verse 17, chapter 13. Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near, for God said the people might change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. Hence God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea, and the sons of Israel went up in the martial array from the land of Egypt. When you read this, you've got to see this and not miss it. Because here's what you see very quickly. He sees our limitations. He sees where it is that we are going to be limited and answers them effectively. So what does he do? He puts the people on a path that would not be their first choice. Because their first choice was the most direct route from A to B. And what did he do? He sent them to G, and then he sent them to F, and he moved them around. He sent them on a path. And it's interesting what it says here, because the Bible says that the Lord knew exactly where they were going to go. He knew what they were going to stand on. He knew that if they saw something that was overwhelming, then they would shrink back. And so what he said, send them on this path. It was a longer path. It had to be more boring, but they were right in the middle of what God wanted them to go. And what I want you to see today is this. He knows sometimes what it is that limits us. He knows what it is that keeps us away from his best for our life. And what does he do? He directs us the right way so that we go right where he wants us to go. Look on, verse 19, chapter 13. Notice what he said. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you. Isn't it interesting? In this unique place, somebody comes back into the story who asked for one promise at the end of their deal. Don't leave my bones in Egypt. Don't leave me in this land. Take my bones out of there. And what I want you to see today as you think about your own journey of faith, don't ever forget those who went before you. Don't ever forget those who had enough faith to believe that you could do something. Don't ever forget that there are those who God puts in your life who say to you, man, don't leave my bones in Egypt. I mean, can you imagine what Moses knows is this? It was in a simple act of obedience and recognition that he picked up those bones and took them right out of that land. Which, by the way, somebody had to be carrying them. And somebody had to be realizing that they were holding what was left of a man who had enough faith to honor those who were God's people and who lived out his life and didn't let anything get in the way of it. You see, if you think about it for a moment, Joseph could have said that pit was inconsequential, but it wasn't. It created for him an opportunity of faith. That prison cell could have been inconsequential, but it wasn't. What I want you to see today is this. You may be in a pit. You may be in a prison cell. You may be in a pain you never dreamed you would have. Do not look at that as inconsequential. Look at it as an opportunity for God to carry you through that to experience life the way he intended. Don't forget those who went before you. For some of you in here, you had fathers who modeled integrity and character, who lived with great faith. And as a result, you get to see that and be reminded of it. Some of you had great moms who did the same thing, or grandparents. You see, for each one of us, we have those who went before us. But look on, though. In verse 20, he goes on to say something very powerful. Then they set out from Succoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. I want you to see something here because you'd miss it if you're not careful. The 24/7 attentiveness that God put before them was to make sure they conquered the one thing that had got them in trouble so often, and it was laziness. You see, they always wanted the easy way, and they thought even that being in Egypt would be easier than fighting out the battle. They thought that this would give them the opportunity. And what happened? What does God do? God makes sure they're moving every second, 24/7, moving towards God's purpose. And I want you to see this and don't miss it. There are times in life where God wants us to move and move and move, not just to sit and sit and sit. He wants us to engage. He wants us to connect. Easter this year is one of those moments where God wants us to move. He wants us to connect. He wants us to set in motion, impacting other people's lives. And as we head towards Resurrection Sunday, be thinking about Who is it that needs to know the real story that we set our hope on? Who is it that needs to know the real story of the empty tomb? Who is it that needs to see the story of what the cross is all about? Because today I challenge you, don't get lazy, be wise. Because what happens is, the Lord knows, I'm going to put this cloud, and by day and by night, they are going to know where they're supposed to go. Which tells you something. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He is always with you. And because He is with you, He is watching over you. And as He watches over you, He guides every step of the way. Just be willing to trust Him as He guides you. So what do you think about this for a second? There are no shortcuts to God's plan. And what do we do oftentimes? We try to find the quickest pathway to get rid of a problem or deal with an issue or resolve something. And it's interesting, years ago, I had a guy say to me something really powerful. He was talking about somebody, and I've shared this one time before, I'm going to share it again because he said this so powerfully. He said, you know, there are many people in life that settle for solutions and never arrive at answers. And when he said that, I thought to myself, you see, if you just want to solve something and you don't want the answer, you may get momentary appeasement or satisfaction, but it doesn't resolve the dynamics of what it is you're encountering. And what you and I need to do today is this. We need to realize that there's only one answer, and it doesn't rest in us. It rests in the one who put the pillar of fire and the cloud so that the people would know which way to go. And watch this, just as assuredly as he was guiding the people of God, he will guide us. There are no shortcuts. So here's what I want you to think about. If you have some shortcut, eliminate the shortcut and go on the long run of the love of God and watch what happens. But it gets more interesting because when you get to chapter 14, you see the second thing I want you to see. First thing I want you to, you can't miss this. I want you to see there are no shortcuts, and if you focus on the inconsequential, you will miss the impossible. Remember that. If you focus in and say, you know what, I just want to feel good today, this moment, you'll miss the long haul of what's impossible, and that's what your faith really is all about. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so you get to chapter 14, and they're on their path. They're following the instructions they're given, and what happens is we get to that next part of the story. And it's here in the first few verses of chapter 14 that you realize that the enemy never stops chasing you until God deals with him. And what I want you to see today is this. And see, we sometimes miss this. The enemy never has a better plan than God's. It may seem like he does. It may seem like, wow, that sure does add up. Why do the psalmist ask? Why do the wicked prosper? And what you see real quickly is we sometimes get in our mind that the enemy can get the best of us, can take over the best of our world, and the truth is, he never has a better plan. God has a better plan. So let's look at this, and let's just kind of see how he unfolds with this whole plan. Chapter 14, and I want you to follow this as we go through it, because what I want you to see is that as you get to the end of this message, you are going to see that if your shortcuts define you, then submitting yourself to God's plan does not. You're going to see that if the enemy throws things at you that says, hey, this temptation won't take you where you think it's going to go, be careful. Because when you start thinking the enemy has a better plan, you get in trouble. And what happens here is you find at one point they go, you know what, I think we want to go back. And listen carefully. God never intended for us to live in reverse. He intended us to live in righteousness. And when you live in reverse, here's what you do. And you got to always look in the rearview mirror. And it's time to knock that mirror down and move forward to what it is God has for you. That's what faith really does. That's what living faith does. So look at first verse 1 and 2 of chapter 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before this place between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of this place opposite by the sea. Now when you read that, you realize something. That it's here that he begins to give them instruction. And here's what I want you to see. When you're facing a great battle, execute with precision the instructions God gives you. Execute with precision. In other words, let's say you're going through something and you realize that if you are to make it happen, it's going to require certain things of you. For example, the Bible is very clear that there are some things you got to fast and pray over that are that significant. And you have to stop and say, you know what? I got to execute precision what it is that God has for me. And I'll never forget, I ran into somebody months ago, and they had been fasting all day over something. And I was in the room with several people, and the person that was the host of the house, they brought this big box of chocolates out. Well, the person that had been fasting, they watched every chocolate we ate. And their next question was, How long do you have to fast? Now, what do you think they're really asking? They're asking, could I eat some of your chocolate? And the reality is, what they were looking for is they want to shortcut those instructions so that they could have chocolate. It was very interesting. I said, well, you can quit your fast whenever you want to. Just make sure God did what he's supposed to do. And you should have seen this person. They ate 5 chocolates as quick as they could gobble them. And you know, by the way, this is one of the things I'll never understand. How can skinny people eat chocolate and stay skinny? Any of you ever thought that? It's so irritating to me. It does not make sense that a person can order this, eat a whole box of chocolate and get done and say, "Ooh, doesn't bother me. You know, well, I gained 9 pounds. It doesn't make sense. But the truth is, you know what happened to that person? They were trying to shortcut. And as they were shortcutting it, they may have missed some of the greatest treasures that God had for them. Listen carefully. If he calls on you to fast, don't put something to your mouth that will cost you more than you can imagine. Be wise. And what I want you to see today is this. Execute with precision. And what God does, he says, okay, I want you to go here, here, and here, which tells you something. Do you not realize that he is involved in the intimate details of your journey of life? He knows, for example, how long you're going to live. He knows what opportunities are going to be put before you. He knows what days you have that are going to be make an impact on people's lives. And you see, what you and I need to do is we've got to maintain sensitivity to what it is he's saying to us so that we can execute with precision what he has for our life. Verse 3, look on, chapter 14. Well, Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart. He will chase after them. I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, and they did so. They go on, and what happens is you see it unfold in verse 5. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart towards the people, and they said, "What is this we have done that we have let Israel go?" And you can imagine, go from what? From serving us. Look on down, verse 10. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt?" When you read this, you realize something. Something snuck into their world. And what snuck into their world was they began to look, watch this, they began to look more at the enemy than they did the Lord. And what I want you to see today is this. When you face a great battle, be careful which way you look. Because what happens is, all of a sudden, when you're in a great battle, you can't miss this. Start anticipating his victory instead of the struggle you're in at that moment. Start believing that beyond that particular moment, he has a victory plan for your life. And what happens is you begin to see how it all comes together because you start anticipating, yes, we can win. Yes, I can experience what God has. And my challenge to you today is this. Realize that in life, when you let your struggles get in the way of your victory, your struggle is always longer. It always is more defined because all of a sudden you zero in on it. Instead of saying, "Lord, I trust you." Last night I was thinking about all the different struggles you encounter as a pastor. Things that you encounter. And I started thinking about one by one. I lay it down. Because I realized something, that only God brings victory. All I have to do is stay faithful to what it is he's called me to do, and I can anticipate what he'll do, how he'll work. And so all of a sudden, instead of looking at the struggle, you start anticipating what God has for your life. Look on, though. Verse 12. Again, "Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptian, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptian than to die in the wilderness?'" When you get to this point, here's what you begin to realize. They move so far from focusing on their victory that they've lost sight of what it is God intended to do in their life. And what you discover quickly is that if they had just held on, because in verse 13 he said, "But Moses said to them, 'Do not fear.'" And what I want you to see today is this. When you face a great obstacle and when you face a great challenge, answer your questions with his presence in your life. In other words, don't look at the sea, don't look at the Egyptians, Don't look what's coming at you. Don't look at what you're going toward. Stand in your victory at that moment. And as you do that, you'll begin to see something. There is no enemy that can get in the way of the presence of God. No enemy. And what you see is this. You want to experience life the way God intended? Let him be present in your world. Because when he's present, somebody else has to be absent. And when you have the Lord in your world, you get to experience the amazing presence of the awesome God who knows your name. Isn't it pretty cool to think about at the end of your journey, when you arrive in heaven, he knows your name. He knows every struggle you've been through. He knows every challenge you've been through. Which, by the way, to whom much is given, much is required. Some great struggles define our faith in such amazing ways. You see, for those Ukrainian pastors who were on a Skype call this week, their hearts were fixed on the reality that God knew before they were ever born that they would face this struggle with Russia. And so their focus was not on Russia. Their focus was on families who had lost everything and making sure that they had their next meal to eat. You see, what I want you to see today is this. You'll never see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread if your heart is fixed on him. So no shortcuts, first of all. Secondly, be sure you watch what the enemy throws at you. Because as he throws things at you, don't let anything come at you that makes you think, that's a better way. That's a better way. Then let's look on. Because then you come to the very end of all the instruction as they are getting ready to face the Red Sea. Okay? And as they get there, it's here that very simple instructions are given. And here's what I want you to see. Don't shortcut. Be careful which plan you follow. And watch this. Don't complicate. Don't complicate the instructions given to you by God. Because sometimes it's in the simplest of instructions that we experience the most profound results. So let's look at this and let's see. Because he gives very, very clear instruction. Look on it with me if you would. Verse 13. But Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Look at it again. Stand by. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Simple instruction number one, do not fear. Do not fear. Look on. Read on with me. Verse 14. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. Watch this. Do not question what God tells you to do. Follow it. And as you follow it, the Lord said, Moses, I don't want to hear more out of you. I want to ask you a question. Can you imagine every once in a while if the Lord doesn't think, I'm so tired of hearing the same thing from him. I'm so tired of hearing the same thing from her. I'd just like for her or him to say, I get it. I got it. I'm with it. I'll keep it. I'll live it. Instead of, why? How long? Oh, I'm so weary. And you're going to see next week, don't grow weary in well-doing. Because if you stay faithful, God will do something amazing. Don't question what God will do. Third instruction you see. Look if you would. Verse 16. As for you, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it. And the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. What's he say here? Do your part. Pick it up. Pick it up. And I'm going to tell you what you discover very quickly. Sometimes we just want to hang on to everything and let everybody else do their part. We hang on to our money thinking it's somebody else's part. We hang on to our service thinking it's somebody else's part. We hang on to our opportunity thinking it's somebody else's part. Here's what the Lord says. Pick it up and watch what happens. And I'm going to say to you today, we need to pick it up, do our part. And if we do our part, God begins to do something amazing inside of us. He begins to shape our lives. But it's simple instruction, not complicated at all. Just do our part. Look on, though, because then he comes that fourth simple instruction. Verse 17, and as for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptian, so they will go in after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen. And the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. I want you to imagine what this had to be like for the people. And here's what I want you to see by way of simple instruction. Watch his wonder. What happens? All of a sudden, everything that had been in front of them got behind them so that those who were coming after them could not do what they intended to do. Listen carefully. If we give credence to the adversary, what we're really saying is that the affirmation and presence of God is not relevant to us where we're at in our life. And all of a sudden, this wonder came. And what I want you to see today, more of us need to experience the wonder of watching Him work in our life. And the way you do that is just make sure you realize sometimes He moves the cloud. Sometimes the fire is behind you. The cloud is behind you, not in front of you. And what is that? It reminds you of His faithfulness while trusting Him with your future. That's what really happens here. Instruction number 6 that we see, verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. I want you to not miss this. When it comes to simple instruction, always look for dry ground. Because what that means, you've stepped into the water. It means you've stepped into what it is that God's going to have for your life. Always look for dry ground. Then finally, as you, one final instruction that you see here, look on down if you would. Because in verses 30 and 31, I want you to see the end of the story. Because you know, if you know the story very clearly, you realize that lots of difficulty happened. In fact, now let's go back for a second. Verse 25. They got in the middle of the Red Sea, and He caused their chariots' wheels to swerve. And He made them drive with difficulty. And it's interesting. Watch this. Here's what happens. These guys who had been dramatically skilled in making sure their chariots could go in a certain direction, all of a sudden their wheels started wobbling. You ever seen anybody driving down the road and their wheels out of whack in front of you? And you realize they can't control the car as well. It causes them to swerve. It causes them not to have stability. Well, you can imagine, these guys who were trained to be the best, they were trained to be able to make it happen. All of a sudden, they start swerving. I was driving home late one night this week, and I was watching as the police officers had a guy pulled over for DUI. And it was interesting because the officer said, "Walk that straight line." And he goes, and the officer kept shining the flashlight. "No, we want that straight line." And he was swerving every step. Now, I have no doubt that he's going to end up with very difficult moments as a result of that, because he made a choice. And as I watched it, you know, I was just driving by and I was thinking, you know what? God gives us sometimes a straight line and we get off that line. When the Egyptians come in and they swerve, they have difficulty, what's going to happen to them? They're going to lose it all. Look on verse 30 and 31. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptian, and Israel saw the Egyptian dead on the seashore. Don't miss that line. They didn't just see them in the water, they saw them gone. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptian, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in His servant Moses. Final simple instruction. Look beyond your problem to His purpose. Don't let your problem of the moment take away the purpose of a lifetime. Because all of us have momentary affliction. All of us have momentary problems. But as we surrender ourselves to that, we learn how to step into the water. And that's really the question I have for you today when you think about your own journey of faith. Because Moses, if you think about it, he had a simple deal. He had to obey, he had to act, he had to believe, he had to watch. He had to do all four things. He had to obey, he had to act, he had to believe, he had to watch. And don't you know his sight line was perfect? You get to watch it all. He got to see everything. And what I want you to see today is you think about your own journey. Just a simple question. Will you step into the water? For some of you, stepping in the water means becoming a part of our family. I want to invite you to do so. For some of you, stepping in the water means becoming a part of Jesus' family, giving your heart to Christ. Whatever it is you're encountering, I want to invite you today to surrender yourself to Him and watch what He does when you step into the water. Let's pray together. Father, thank You. Thank You for the power of Your Word speaks to our life. Thank You for this amazing day You've given us. How You speak to us in every way to become vessels worthy of honor because we're living out lives of faith. And so, Lord, I pray as we as a family respond to You that we would act in obedience to what You have for us. May we step into the water. Lord, if there's someone here who needs to become a part of this family, Lord, let them step in the water. If there's someone here who needs to give their heart to You, let them step into the water. And as they do, something amazing will begin to happen. We trust You, Lord, to move during these moments. In Christ's name, amen.